You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with a very special guest. I am here with a one autism specialist and avid comic book fan, Shabazz Williams. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And today we are going to talk about a very special segment that's near and dear to my heart and many others out there in podcast land, particularly that listen to us. We're talking about my favorite superhero, and not my favorite superhero, but, you know, the guest's favorite superhero. And Shabazz, your favorite superhero happens to be...
Gambit, the Raging Cajun.
Gambit, the Raging Cajun. Okay. I'm excited about this one, particularly because it tells a lot about the guest, what their favorite superhero is. And you like a thief. So, you know... I don't know about you now. I don't know if I can trust you because this guy's a little dangerous. He's also very good with the ladies, I will say. So there's that. So that kind of counterbalances a little bit, but you know. But in all seriousness, Gambit's a great character. Yes, he had a background in thievery, but that just adds to the dimensions of the character. And makes sense that he's part of the Marvel canon, particularly in the X-Men universe. X-Men universe, I always felt, was just filled with delinquents and in characters that would have this thing about them that was just odd or off or showed that they had flaws. And then they would kind of course correct and use that to their advantage. And I really enjoyed that aspect, particularly about the X-Men, how it was filled with all these characters that had some wrongdoings in their past, but then they showed how they can use that to their advantage in the future. And I always thought that was very clever of them to do when they created these characters. What about Gambit kind of drew you in to the character?
Well, Gambit appealed to me personally because, you know, he had that dark background. He was a thief, and like you said, he was good with the ladies. Not only was he stealing things from people, but he was stealing hearts too. So he was a ladies' man. He was smooth. And the other thing is, you know, I grew up in the 90s. You know, I watched the X-Men animated series. I watched the revamped X-Men comic book line. And, you know, one of the things I liked about the X-Men is their diversity. You know, different people with different powers, different backgrounds, different ages. And Gambit, you know, he is from the South. He was shrouded in mystery. And how can you not like somebody that, you know, wields around a bow staff and, you know, throws kinetic energy? And the cool thing about him is his energy was pink. It glowed. And you don't really see pink energy. So that kind of stuck out to me a little bit.
You're right. I think in like the 80s, particularly, and then into the 90s, early 90s, the comic book artists started finding out that purple and pink like worked so well together, and just pink on a cover really popped. So once they got the printing process down to make that really pop and look really good, they did that. And Gambit's one of those because you have that pink around his bow staff or around his cards that he's holding in his hand. That was like his trademark, was throwing these playing cards. And it made sense. He's from the South, from what, like Louisiana? He's a Cajun. Mm-hmm. He liked to gamble. You know, he was a thief, things like that. So you kind of put gambling and thievery in the same wheelhouse. So he had these playing cards. And that was super cool about the character, the fact that he had that. And he was willing to use his cards to weaponize and defeat, like, enemies, you know. And the fact that he could throw them well, that was another thing. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I tried really hard to throw cards, playing cards, like Gambit.
We all did.
Couldn't do it to save my life. Like, I think one time I succeeded and it went like across the room and I was like, I'm Gambit. Everybody, I'm Gambit now. I'm the coolest. Gambit came out and his original appearance was, there's two actually. There's Uncanny X-Men Annual number 14, where he makes a really blip of an appearance. Very, very small. A lot of people, though, are now saying that is his true first appearance. It wasn't the case a year ago, really, but now more so than ever. The other one is Uncanny X-Men number 266. That's the big one. That's with him on the cover. You know, he's got his, I think he's got his bow staff, or at least the cards in his hand or something like that. There's a tree nearby, and he's kind of leaning on it, and he has a lady in his arms trying to help. So it's a very cool cover and a very cool introduction to the character. And I think that's why that's the more popular of the two, because the first one, the annual, came out in July of 1990, and that Uncanny X-Men 266 came out in August of 1990. Only a month separates them, and maybe not even a true month, probably even a couple weeks, because they, you know, comic books come out every week. So it was created by Chris Claremont and artist Jim Lee, which is another really cool fact. Jim Lee, of course, is a superstar artist still to this day, and Chris Claremont is very well renowned for his 17-year, I believe, 18-year run on the X-Men titles.
Oh, wow.
That's a seminal run. Yeah, he. If you haven't seen the documentary on Chris Claremont, it's on. I know for sure it's on Amazon Prime. You can check it out on there. It's actually pretty good. It shows how much he wanted to control these characters, but also how much he loved them and wanted to keep them sheltered and in like this bubble world away from all the other Marvel comic characters, so he could continue to control their projection of where they were going and how he could write them, which is important for any writer, really. When you fell in love with the X-Men, and with particularly with Gambit, was it because of the cartoon, the animated series?
I'm trying to think back. I remember when I was a young child, I got some comics for my birthday, and I remember Wolverine and Gambit definitely stuck out to me. And then it wasn't until, I guess, the cartoon that I really fell in love with him, because it gave me a voice. I got to hear his voice, that Southern act. I got to see him try to seduce Rogue all the time how he was. So I think it was more so the cartoon, definitely hearing his speech and his whole tone and that Cajun Creole dialect that he had.
Yeah. He was really fun, particularly with Rogue, how he would flirt with her and stuff. I think when I started hitting on women, it was very Gambit-esque. I would be like, hello, mon ami, you know?
Exactly, that mon ami. It hits different, mon ami.
Yes. Didn't work for me, I'm going to say that, to be honest, and it wouldn't now. as a full-grown adult, would not work for me either, I don't believe. My accent, though, is just not believable. But if I had that Creole kind of Cajun accent, I might throw that out there occasionally and make it work. As far as Gambit's concerned, he had the bow staff. You like that about him. We have another character in comic books that had a bow staff that was created before him. That was Donatello from the Ninja Turtles. Is Donatello your favorite Ninja Turtle?
You know what? Actually, I think he might be. Yeah. Definitely. I was a kid that took off the broom handle and swung it around like it was a bow staff. Yeah, I think Donatello was my favorite, always pretending to be somebody with a bow staff.
You know, that's cool. And had we known each other back then, we probably would have fought with brooms.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
I was totally in on that, too. I love Donatello. He's my favorite Ninja Turtle. And I love the fact that he was the only one that didn't have any metal in his weapon. And that always rang out to me. Like, Michelangelo was like closest to Donatello because he had the wood sticks, nunchucks, but he had the chains in between, which could stop a blade or something. With Donatello, I always felt like anybody with a sharp sword could cut right through the damn thing. So he had to be very clever in how he fought, and it showed even in the cartoon that he would use it to unbalance people. That was his big thing, was to knock people off their balance. He would use it to sweep the leg. He would use it to pole vault. He would use it to hit you from the side, in the back of the kneecap, so you would fall down. Stuff like that you saw all the time that a lot of people never paid attention to when they were kids, but I did, because I saw that. And I was like, well, Leonardo can just pull out his katana sword and chop you in half. Raphael can stab you through with a sai. Michelangelo can wrap that thing around your neck and choke you off. Donatello could hit you with a stick. You know?
It's funny that you say that, Donald, because that's exactly how I felt about Gambit with the X-Men. Because, you know, you had Wolverine, he could slice through you with those claws. You had Cyclops that can blast you with his beams and all this other stuff. But with Gambit, he was multifaceted. You know, he could throw the cards at you, he could charge something up, throw energy, blow things up. However, he was a skilled hand-to-hand fighter, akin to, you know, Spider-Man. He was doing acrobatic stuff, he was flipping around. So if he didn't have his cards, or even there was an episode, I think he was in Genosha and he lost his power. He was still a formidable adversary and was able to defend himself because he had great hand-to-hand skills, a lot of acrobatic stuff, and knocking people off balance. So, you know, very similar to Donatello.
Now, as far as, like, his skills in the thievery world, he was part of a thieves' guild before he joined the X-Men, which made a lot of the X-Men distrust him. Mm-hmm. Made him kind of a roguish character, no pun intended. Or maybe there was. I really like that aspect of him, and I think it really added to that dynamic of the character in his capabilities. Because he's a thief, he had more finesse in the way he fought. I always felt his fighting skill was very romantic in a lot of ways. And now that I'm older, even more of a romantic element, particularly when he would fight with somebody, like Rogue, for example. It was almost like he was always trying to win her over with everything that he did with his fighting skill.
His fighting style was the art of seduction.
Yeah.
That's literally what it was.
Yeah, he could seduce you with his fights, with the way his combat came about, which was very fascinating. Wolverine would use anything and everything to win, and that just shows the scrappiness of his character. Cyclops had a morality clause in him that could never allow him to do certain things until particular writers took it and kind of really ran overboard with him and made him a stone cold killer, which was odd and just didn't, in my eyes, didn't work for Cyclops. So I never forgave them for that or him. But with Gambit, there was a difference to him. He had both elements. He had a morality to him, but he also had this ability to do what it took to win in any fight. And I really enjoyed that aspect of him. And they showed that probably about 7 to 10 years ago when he had a series where it was about him going back to his thieving days, his roots of being a you know, part of the Thieves Guild and of doing some of these dubious things. And I found that cool. And I also always thought, like, he was going for the wrong girl. He kept going for Rogue. I always felt that he should go for, like, Black Cat, in Spider-Man's world, because she was kind of a rogue, too, and a thief in a way, and I always liked that pairing, and I thought that they would make a great couple, but I don't think that ever happened.
To cross comic worlds for a second, I always thought he would make a good match with Selina Kyle, with Catwoman. You know, they had similar fighting styles. You know, they were both thieves, and, you know, they had a lot in common. So, yeah, Black Cat definitely makes sense there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it just never really... I get opposites attract with Bruce Wayne and Selina. I get that totally, but I always thought Remy... which is Gambit. I always thought Remy would work well with somebody also of dubious background, you know, of that's not perfect.
Somebody that could relate to him on that level.
Right. And you're right. Selina would have been a good match for him. Was Rogue a good match? Sure. I mean, to a point. Rogue was, you know, they both had the Southern charm, so she could really kind of deflect that because she knew. And she probably dealt with thousands of boys that did the same thing to try to win her over. The only thing he did differently was he backed up his mouth. Like, he proved to her that he could defend himself, that he could look out for her, that he could protect her. Also, that he could take a back seat and let her take charge when needed, and he could back her up.
That was one of the beautiful things that I loved about him was the relationship dynamics, because Rogue was a strong, independent woman. She had the powers of Miss Marvel. She had absorption powers. She didn't really need anyone to back her up. But Remy was okay with that. He balanced it, but he still showed her he was there for her. If she needed that, he could definitely do that. And their relationship is definitely one of the things that drew me to that.
Now, what did you think about X-Men Origins Wolverine and seeing Taylor Kitsch play Gambit in that? Was that something that that you really wanted to see and you now still appreciate, or you wanted to see and you don't? Or
so, like most comic fans, I try to strike Wolverine Origins from my mind. There was a lot of things there that they definitely missed the ball on. But, you know, I was excited to see Taylor Kitsch play him. You know, I wasn't expecting it. I don't think he was in the previews. And I was definitely was an interesting delight. And that brief fight sequence they had was really good. You know, he handled his own against a young Remy. Handled his own against Wolverine. I was looking forward to seeing him in future films, and it just didn't quite happen. I think that is the only time we've ever seen him in a Marvel or, you know, X-Men movie.
Yeah. There was, of course, the infamous signing of Channing Tatum to play Gambit, and that just languished in development hell until, I think, in 2019, so like what, 2 years ago, in May or June, somewhere around there, they canceled it.
They finally canceled it.
They officially said, no, Channing Tatum would not be playing Gambit this time. Sorry, guys. It's not going to happen.
I think that was for the best. I just can't envision Channing Tatumism. He's way too strong, way too big, and too old.
I can't see him playing, like doing the accent either. His acting skills to me doesn't go that far. I could be wrong. You know, I could be being an asshole
here. Far beyond looks. And yeah, he does not have that Southern charm at all.
No. And let him stick to the comedy. He does good with that, much like John Cena. Although, have you seen the recent Suicide Squad movie?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was better than the first one. And, you know, what I loved about that is, spoiler alert, is the beginning of the movie, you see all these characters and then they all die off. And so that kind of put me for a whirl. And there was a lot of new blood mixed with a little bit of old blood. And ultimately, I thought it could be better, but I was entertained. I was happy with it.
Yeah, I was extremely, extremely happy with it. And I love now that we have these streaming platforms that so this Suicide Squad film unfortunately didn't do as well as they wanted it to. But we can still get, and we are getting, the Peacemaker series that's coming out on HBO Max in January of next year. So I'm excited to see that, and that's kind of the extension or the continuation of the Suicide Squad for writer-director James Gunn and for John Cena, who played Peacemaker. So that's going to be cool. Very, very excited to see that.
That after-credit scene makes sense now.
Right. So what I'm thinking is, now that Disney Plus has really started to take off and we've seen shows like Loki and WandaVision, stuff like that, do you think that maybe Gambit is best suited for a Disney Plus series world? Or do you think that maybe we should see him on the big screen first? Or
I liken him to a degree to somebody like Hawkeye. I think he can do both. I think he can be a member of the X-Men when they finally come to the MCU. You've got to definitely have him there. He's one of the most popular X-Men. But he is exciting enough to have his own spinoff series like a Hawkeye, like a Loki. And, you know, a testament to that is just comic books. Gambit has had several individual runs of just his own title, and they have sold well in the past. And I think he's capable. He's definitely a dynamic enough character, and he's shrouded in so much mystery that he can do both. Kind of like how Hawkeye, we're starting to see his ninja ties as Ronin in the new show that's coming out. And I think they can definitely flesh all that individual aspect on him.
I like that idea of the Ronin aspect and stuff with the new Hawkeye series coming back kind of to haunt him in a way, and introducing the female character, I think it's Kate Bishop, and just seeing more of his interaction with his daughter and stuff. And I really am wanting Jeremy Renner to succeed in this, but I also have never really liked his acting style.
Totally agree.
I think that this is the best version of him that we're going to see, particularly because it does have a real diehard feel to it, with a little bit more of a family aspect. But then placing it around the holidays of Christmas time, I thought was very clever. Mm-hmm. And the marketing's very clever, and I'm very excited for that. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. And I do agree. I think putting Gambit in that world of kind of like Hawkeye, because Hawkeye was a villain too. He was a thief. He was a bad guy when he was first introduced. So there's a lot of parallels between Gambit and Hawkeye, and it would be cool even if they premiered Gambit's character in that world. I wouldn't be against it, as long as it was done well, and then they were able to branch him out into the X-Men later. I'd be fine with that.
It's not a bad idea, and they're both East Coast. I think they're both from New York. They both reside in New York now, so you know, I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, definitely could see those characters kind of working either against each other or with each other, with a common foe, or you know, being each other's foe, whatever you might have. But there's also I liked the Black Widow film. What did you think of that film?
I liked it. Is it in my top five Marvel movies? No, but I thought it was a very good movie, a B+. I think this is the first Marvel movie that kind of took place in between other movies in terms of the storyline. I think it took place right after Civil War, but before the Infinity War movies.
Yeah.
And so I really like that aspect of it, because you got to see things kind of knowing what was going to happen outside of the film, but they showed you this own little pocket verse that, you know, things that were happening that was kind of a backstory, and it introduced you to characters that, you know, you can bring in. And I hope they kind of continue that aspect of it, where maybe they throw back some movies, throw it back a few years, and maybe we can see some familiar faces down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that idea a lot. I think it was pretty smart of them to do, particularly because, spoiler alert, they did kill the Black Widow off in, Infinity War? Mm-hmm. Avengers Infinity War, they did kill her character off. So to have her come back in like a prequel of sorts,
exactly,
was very well done. I love the film. I thought it was very, very good. I would put it in just above the middle, in the MCU. Upper echelon, I would say, of the MCUs. I'd put it pretty high up. The one thing that did bother me, but I got over it pretty fast, was Taskmaster.
Oh, yes.
Particularly because it wasn't the character we expected. I'm not going to say who or what, but I feel like if we were to get the original version of the Taskmaster, also Hawkeye would be a great way to appear, you know, for that character to appear in, particularly because he emulates other people's powers. And archery is a pretty easy one to emulate, I would think, if that's what your power is to emulate. So I would like to see him kind of face down Hawkeye as well, or AKA Ronin. I think that would add to the dynamic, but I don't think we're going to get that. I think we're going to get the swordsman instead, which is fine. If you can't have the Taskmaster, I think the swordsman is a good backup character to use. We've already seen Batroc, a few other, I would say C-level Marvel villains. So I think adding the swordsman into the pantheon of the MCU is a great idea, and I'm looking forward to that if that is indeed the case. As far as other characters surrounding Remy, who would be like your next favorite X-Men character?
Ooh, that would have to be Wolverine. You know, I know that's a very cliche pick, but, you know, Logan was the little guy that could. I don't even think he's 6 feet tall. And, you know, he's got that gruff. He drinks beer. He doesn't care.
Smokes cigars.
He wants the woman that it's kind of with somebody, and, you know, she kind of likes him, but, you know, she kind of doesn't, and she's cautious, but he still shoots his shot, and that's super admirable. And then on top of that, he's what, 100, 200 years old? You know, he's been around. He's seen some things. So.
He's an old dude. Yeah, there's some history there. A lot of stories to mine from his character. Anything else you want to add about Remy, about Gambit, before we close this out?
Definitely. So a couple of things I wanted to touch upon. His powers, you know, he seems like a regular person when it comes to the power skill, but at a brief time in the X-Men universe, he had a mega level powers where he could charge anything given enough time. You know, he could charge a rocket ship if he wanted to. And so that was definitely a cool aspect about him. And then eventually he kind of gave up that ability. I think it was a sacrifice. And when he did that, it limited his powers. But the good thing about it is it kept him as a street level person. You know, you still get those street level mystery stories about him. And one of the things that I realized thinking about Gambit, why I relate to him so much, is you know, he's somebody that pretends like he doesn't care about anyone, that he doesn't need anyone, but at the end of the day, he truly does care about people. He has honor, and he has a deep loyalty to the people in his life, even though sometimes it doesn't happen you know, for his benefit.
Right.
And yeah, you know, I can relate to that definitely on a personal level, and, you know, just kind of compensate, like pretending, having a false bravado about them. And that's kind of masking some insecurities. Like as a teenager, I related to him. I was like, you know, I act charming. I try to talk up everybody, but deep down inside, I have things, you know, that I'm insecure about. So Remy definitely hit the spot with that for me. And I feel like he's a hero that a lot of people can relate to.
That's a great way to explain it, and a great way to go out on this with this character. I really appreciate you having you on, Shabazz. Thank you for being a guest on this podcast.
Sure, you're definitely welcome.
And so for those that don't know, we have a YouTube page. It is Rumble Swim Productions. We're on there for as The Real Short Box. You can find us there. We do have a website for Rumble Swim Productions, rumblespoon.com. You can go on there, check out. All of our audio podcasts are available on there as well as YouTube. We do have live video podcasts that we do put up on YouTube also. Those are usually once a week on Mondays, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time is when we have those. We do a multitude of different things. We'll have where you vote for your favorite characters and your favorite films and things like that. We'll list our top 10, like favorite Marvel TV series, you know, top 10 sports films, all these kinds of things, a little outside the box of what we normally do, but we have a lot of fun doing it. And we always enjoy having guests on and people very active in the chat. So that's always fun. We do an audio podcast, usually comes out every Thursday, every Friday of the week. It's on a multitude of podcast platforms besides YouTube and our website. It is on Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. We're on Amazon Podcasts, Google, you name it, and basically we're on it. If you can't find us and you want to, you can reach out to us on one of our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, we are on Instagram, and we are also on Twitter. You can also reach out to us at any one of those, and we will respond. We do a very good job, or try to respond to people that reach out. And with that, I'm going to say again, thank you, Shabazz, and thank you to everybody that's listening here to The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.